Well, the book of Nehemiah chapter 4, please. Nehemiah chapter 4, and there is a defining verse in this book, and it's found in verse 6. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says this, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." That is a defining verse in this book. This book is all about rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. Some prophetic implications to that as well. But that one verse defines what this book is all about. "So built we the wall because the people had a mind to work." It was God's plan for that wall to be built. It was Satan's plan to hinder that good work. Anytime people have a mind to work and God is in it, you can mark it down. Satan will work in opposition to that good work. It always happens that way. You've seen people, they got saved and they get excited about what God is doing in their life. And boy, the first thing that happens to them is their transmission goes out on their car. Or some other tragedy like that happens that's going to cost them several thousands of dollars. That's always how it works. And because it has worked through the years, Satan opposing, he's not had to change his strategy. And so I want us to look in this book the strategy that Satan had for this good work to be completed. First of all, there was ridicule about this work. Let's read the first three verses, Nehemiah chapter 4. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews." He made fun of them. "And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" Foxes are little bitty animals, and they don't weigh but a couple of pounds. And they are making fun of the Jews and says, "Even if a fox, after they build the wall, if a fox goes up on that wall, it's going to break the wall down." They are just ridiculing them. They are mocking them. Let me tell you something. When we started to build this building, there were a lot of people that mocked what we were trying to do. First of all, it took 34 times of us going to a lender. You're saying, "I didn't know there were 34 institutions out there that lent money." Well, there are. We went to 34 of them before, 33 of them before the 34th one finally said, "We'll loan you the money." You know what 33 of them basically did? They laughed at us. They said, "That little congregation that you have to build a nice building like this," they simply laughed. Until God sent us an individual in the church who was a very successful businessman from Palm Springs, California, who had just retired and moved out here and bought and brought his bank account with him. And when he put his money in a local bank here, he told the president of that bank, "I want you to loan this little church the money they need to build this building." And that was the 34th one. But before that, everybody laughed and ridiculed us for what we were trying to do. But ladies and gentlemen, God was in this work. He had his hand upon this work, and we were able to complete it. But Satan always has his emissaries to ridicule. Second of all, in Nehemiah, there was intimidation from without. I want you to look at verse 7 and 8 of this same chapter. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." There was intimidation from without. There was a group of people that was not the least bit happy with what was going on in the plan of God for Jerusalem and the wall around there. The wall is half done here, and the hardest part of any job is the second half. Let me tell you what happened with this building. About three-fourths of the way when this building was being built, our general contractor filed bankruptcy. We were three-quarters of the way done. I'm going to point out something to you. You may have never seen it, but see this big glue lamb that goes across here, and this is a steel beam that goes across? That glue lamb, they notched out that thing. They should never have done that. I came in here, and they had notched that out and put those little saddles up there, and I said, "Why in the world would you do that?" And they said, "Well, it wouldn't fit." I said, "Doesn't matter. You should never have done that. Either that glue lamb was over constructed in the beginning, or it is not safe now. I brought in an individual." He said, "Kim, you don't have anything to worry about. It was just overdone in the beginning, but it is safe." What I'm saying is, there was intimidation from without of people that really didn't know what they were doing. They just said, "Hey, listen, it doesn't fit. We'll just notch this thing out." Should never, ever have happened. Third, there was discouragement from within. Look at verse 10. "And Judah," some of the good guys, "the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed, and there is a bunch of trash laying around. There's much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." There's always going to be somebody that will tell you why you can't do what God has already told you you should do. Somebody's going to tell you, "No, you can't do that." We had a ton of people telling us that we could not build this building and get this thing completed after our PFG Construction filed bankruptcy and all the things that went along with that. And I could go on for a long time just with that, but we need to finish. Okay. Third, there was intimidation from within. Look at verse 11 and 12. And our adversary said, they shall not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and kill them, slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. You know how they overcame that intimidation from within? It's one thing to be intimidated from without, something else to be intimidated from within. And that's what is taking place here. They overcame that intimidation by remembering God and arming themselves. One of the nice things, when Tina is reading her devotion, she will say, oh, Kim, listen to this. This is so good. And she did that this morning. And it was so good. It was so good, I can't remember a thing she said. But it was good. And I thought at the time, it's just my mind's gone. But it really was good. Look at verse 14 of Nehemiah 4. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Anytime there is intimidation from within and without, remember what God has done for you in time past. Now look at verse 16 and 17. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which built it on the wall, and they that bare burdens with those that laid it, every one with one of the hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. That very metaphor there is good for us today from this standpoint. The Christian life is about building and battling. And when you're not having to battle, then you better be building, because when it comes time to battle, you're not going to have time to build, and you need to be building all the time that you are not engaged in the battle against what God has told you to do. The Christian life is just all about building and battling. And then, of course, this always comes up with any building project, and it did here. Let me tell you what happened. PFG Construction, they would go down to the bank, they would get the money to pay the subcontractor. The only problem is they weren't paying the subcontractor. They would go down and get the money from the bank, put it in their pocket, and then the only recourse that a subcontractor has is to file a lien against the church. And so I started getting all these liens. And I thought, what's going on? So I go to the general contractor. This is before I understood what was happening. And he said, oh, don't worry about it, Kim. We're going to take care of it. It's just normal stuff in a building project. Okay. Well, it cost us an additional $175,000 because the subcontractors weren't getting paid, and we had to pay them. And we went and talked to them, and all of them accepted less money except one individual, and they said, no, we can't do it. What am I talking? I'm talking about finances. Look at chapter 5. And let's begin reading verse 1. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren, the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them, that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards, and our houses, that we might buy corn because of the famine. There were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. We got to pay our taxes, and we had to borrow money to pay our taxes. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants, and some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. What's he talking about here? Money's getting tight. They're having to sell their lands, their vineyards, things that supported their family. They were having to sell it just to buy corn so that they wouldn't die. And anytime there's financial problems, there's lots of other problems. Perhaps you've gone through times in your married life where you didn't have a buck in your checking account. Any of y'all like that? Well, Tina and I have been that way several times. Money's tight, and you understand that 75% of all marital strife involves money. 75%. Finances become an issue. And then there is a distraction that is taking place. Chapter 6. The first four verses. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian, sorry guys that they were, and the rest of our enemies, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come and let us meet together and some one of the villages in the plain of Ono, but they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. I'm doing a good work. I don't have time for this distraction to come and talk to you. What he is saying is the work of the Lord requires our undivided attention. And then there were just out and out lies. Chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their kings according to... It's just out and out lies. Verse 7. Thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Look at verse 15 of this chapter. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 50 and 2 days. You know how that came about, ladies and gentlemen? All of these things that Satan had put in their way, they just kept at the work. They didn't get sidetracked. They said, listen, God's business requires haste, and we are going to stay at what God wants us to do. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a message for us at this church about just staying on task of what God has called us to do. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not successful, that's God's business. But our responsibility is to be faithful in giving out the word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the clear direction that we have from your word. And I say it so often, but Father, I mean it with all my heart. Thank you for bringing us together. We need each other. You have been so good in our life through the years to bring people into our life that just makes a difference and makes our life so much better. Thank you, dear Father, for loving us. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.